Bernard de Montreal. Preparatory Communication Number 17. The Death of the Old Ego. The psychological awareness of man and his influence on everyday life closely depends on the awareness of the movement of energy within him, and on the exact and precise understanding of this movement. Man cannot ignore the intelligence behind the material appearance of his actions, because such ignorance can only lead him to a generalized failure of his organism, both mentally and emotionally as well as materially. It is essential that man readjusts his vision of reality, the vibratory reality of his being, so as to be able to follow the rhythm of his energy and not to counteract it with activities that interfere with it. Activities based on the disagreement between the old ego and the forces of life. The energy of man must first be perceived before it can be understood in its functioning. As long as man has not realized that he is indeed in an intelligent relationship with another plane of reality and that this plane has a concrete effect on his material existence, it is impossible for him to understand how much his life is in close relationship with creative forces that work in him for the possible purpose of being recognized by electrically and chemically manipulating his being. Not to mention the thoughts that flow towards him and which serve to support his role as an intelligent being on the material level. Man is fundamentally an evolving being, not only in terms of his rational intelligence, but also in terms of his intuitive and creative intelligence. Today's man conceives only for the short-term benefit of his material life and does not realize that this benefit is artificial if it is not the result of a total integration of his being. That is, if he is not aware that there are hidden mechanisms within him that serve to link him in his evolution to forces of high intelligence that are at the very basis of his vital and creative function. But these forces can only come into mental contact with man to the extent that his mind has opened to their reality. The interpenetration of these intelligent forces with human intelligence produces an acceleration of man's intelligence and allows him to increase his power of life and creation. However, the most difficult obstacle to overcome in this awareness is the ego's natural desire to lead its own boat, when in reality he is unable to lead it perfectly, because he constantly undergoes obstacles of which he does not understand the deep reason for its existence. This misunderstanding forces him to undergo life as it presents itself to him, instead of molding it to the greatness of his creative will. It is not enough for man to live his life as he is forced to live it. He must live it as he wants to live it, meaning as he can live it within the framework of his own supramental potential. As long as man lives his life on the level, plane, of his lower mind, of his conditioned intelligence, this life will never know how to be what he has always secretly felt it could be. Precisely, because he will not have understood that to live his life as he secretly feels it, we must stop being subjugates to it, and develop the hidden forces within us that prevent us from accessing it. But these forces, this intelligence, which hardly pierces the surface of human consciousness, can no longer pale before the intelligence and reason of man when it begins to manifest itself in his life. It then becomes more and more powerful and grasps more and more the man in his growth and makes him recognize its presence and its power over the events of his life. Only then does man begin to grow and understand his life. It is then that he realizes that life is much more than what it represents on the surface, and that understanding its secret leads him, one day or another, to know and understand all its aspects. Unfortunately, man can only begin to understand life when it marks the face of its sign. But from then on, it takes on another meaning for him, and it is from that moment that he begins to live. At first, he fears his self-centered reactions, because the forces of life are not yet adjusted to his creative will, but rather to his personal desires. And it is his personal desires that hinders the vibratory harmony that must exist between him and the intelligent forces of life. The human ego is made up of mental and emotional energy. This energy provokes reactions in man when they are confronted with a type of new energy that man has not yet learned to integrate into his life. So that the original reaction of the ego is sometimes hostile to this new consciousness in him that pierces the thick walls of the conditioned consciousness. This is why the new man must live an initial, difficult period before fully understanding the mechanisms of supramental consciousness, which forces its presence and seeks by all means to reduce, possibly eliminate, the forms that constitute the foundation of the lower consciousness. In the ancient man, the man whose consciousness has been conditioned by his external senses, it is impossible for him to react intelligently to the hidden movement of internal forces. But the new man, because of his sensitivity to internal forces, and helped in his understanding of their mechanisms and laws, will be able to access a consciousness proportional to his power to undergo the penetration in him of these forces, until the day when he will be able to use these powerful forces according to the harmony of his ego with them. The power of man has never been so diminished as in this period of history. And yet, humanity has never been so close to realizing the inner greatness of man. Why, then, are things so unclear in the spirits of those who need to know about this new cycle of evolution? The answer is simple but veiled. On the one hand, the new man will be made conscious by invisible forces whose close relationship with his own life he does not know. Secondly, these forces have the power to accelerate or delay the awareness of man, depending on whether it is favorable for the total good of mankind, and not according to the personal desire of the human ego. So that man, the individual, is obliged to live an uncertain period, until the moment when certainty takes hold in him, not because he has seen, but because he has felt or heard, in himself, the truth of the experience that leads to the other dimension of material reality. It is here that the choice is made. That is, the sharing is made between men, those who have in them the power to know power, and those who do not yet have in them, in this lifetime, the power to know power. Those who need to know about power in the future are already marked by it. but they must develop the necessary awareness in order to recognize it and await its manifestation. Since man is about to know power, it is normal that those who are destined for it feel it, seek it, but do not yet realize it, because power has not descended on Earth, or on the globe. It is waiting for the right moment when it will to be used to raise the vibratory rate of those for whom it is intended. And this, when the time will have come for this manifestation. During the waiting period, man must be prepared so that he does not suffer from power when it manifests itself on the globe. Man's power is not merely an expression of a human desire, but a manifestation in man of a power of which he is no longer aware, but which is, and has always been, present in him. But power is governed by laws, because it is emitted, manifested, according to modes of intelligence that go beyond the limited dimensions of human experience. When man is present in his inner spirit, it is easier for him to understand the reason for these laws, if only within the framework of ignorance of his own ego, whose weaknesses and shortcomings he knows too well. How can he conceive, then, the possession of power, if this possession endangers both the planet and humanity? Man is not without knowing to what extent he is primitive and unconscious of his actions, of their scope. That is why power must be transmitted to man when he is sufficiently aware of the limits and weaknesses of his ego, so that the forces aren't released in such unbridled fashion on his globe such that he would not know how to stop their destruction if they were misused. The new psychology of man will put him in mental contact with the higher beings of the galaxy. Hence, his psychological behavior must be totally transformed in order to allow him to undergo, unflinchingly, the shock of realization that must be accompanied by such an experience. In the past, man has conceived his evolution according to projections that were personal to him or modeled on certain philosophies emanating from a few centers of thought on the globe. But in the future, humanity will no longer be indebted to human efforts in the field of philosophical thought, but rather to supramaterial efforts directly linked to the activities of the forces that dominate and direct the evolution of the planet Earth. This is why man will no longer have to make efforts in the field of knowledge, because it will be given to him in direct relation with the forces of life that must lead him to another dimension of material, mental and spiritual life. Whatever man's desire according to which he seeks knowledge, the latter, in its most hidden aspects, can only reach him by the crossing of the forces of light in him and his spirit. The matter is far too dense for man, by his own efforts, to be able to free himself from it alone. He will need help, and this help will be provided according to his specific life plan. The forces of evolution do not have absolute control over man, but they have a vibratory power. And it is from this power that man, one day, must feed himself, in order to raise the vibration of the planet and allow him to be counted among the great globes of the galaxy. The old man will be forced to lower his flag in front of the new man, because the latter can no longer be trapped in the game of his materialistic and unconscious psychology. As much as conditioned psychology has served the ancient man during his evolution, so much it will be meaningless for the man of tomorrow. So that the human relationships between the two will no longer be the same, except only to the extent that the new man will no longer be able to discover any attraction for the old psychology. This change of perspective in the life of the new man will create a void in him that he will be able to fill in his new relationships with those who will understand exactly what he feels and perceives. From this new way of life will grow a new society that does not belong to any country or people, because the limits of this new society will extend from matter to the invisible. And it is from this new union between the spirit of matter and the spirit of the invisible that man will be nourished. It will be impossible for the ancient man to understand the new man, for the latter will no longer be of his own race, but of a new race whose distinction will be characterized only by a different degree of consciousness, rather than by a degree of color. New life will gradually spread and will cover all aspects of the experience. What was will be questioned, because the past will no longer have any power over the new race. Whatever the degree of impression and conditioning, the new era will represent a lightening of the human condition. For life will no longer be lived within the psychological limits shaped for centuries by men whose thoughts were forced to mold themselves to the material form of existence. Atrophy will be replaced by a vast, profound, and very personal vision of life, and those who enjoy this vision will have a common and universal understanding of its greatness and of its reality. Man will no longer suffer in his ego, because it will have been relieved of the heavy burden of illusory forms that have enslaved his mind and amputated his internal power. The awakened ego will then become the support of the great forces that must descend in matter to raise its vibratory rate and subject it to the laws of the spirit. The use of suprasensible intelligent forces to increase the vibratory rate of matter is one of the most important points in the evolution of mankind on the Earth. However, this activity raises serious dangers as soon as man has lost the vibratory consciousness that constitutes the perfect shield against the subjective desires of the ego. Such a loss of consciousness can only endanger the planet and relegate it to the camp of the forces of black magic. The ego of man can only claim the wisdom of intelligence, or discernment, when he has been sufficiently conscious to allow the forces of life to penetrate and serve as a channel for them. The wisdom of intelligence, or discernment, is a power of the spirit of man over the spirit of emotions. And it is through this wisdom that man will learn to recognize the enemies of light. Any form can be used to hide or pretend reality. That is why man, for his own personal protection, must be able to invoke his vibratory power to correct the influences and effects of form on his spirit. The education of the new man will not claim the total perfection of his being, but will serve as a springboard for the elevation of his spirit during his future experience. When men have turned sufficiently against reality, part of this humanity will have progressed and will be ready to part with it. Separation will be the sign of the beginning of the new age, when two types of men will evolve on the globe, the old and the new. The end of the old man will be recognized by the new man, because only the latter, in possession of his vibratory faculties, will have the facility to discern the new vibration, which will allow him to break through the different and multiple illusions of the personality. Armed with this power, it will be easy for him to determine what real life means to him, despite the enormous mass of illusions that surrounds him and make it inaccessible. This revolution in man will be accompanied by such a great internal power that no man can now be influenced by any form of old life. Confident of himself, this new type of man will entrench himself from the demands of a life conditioned by a false vision, while a totally new vision will open before him and allow him to access the highest possible level of experience on this planet. Life will no longer be the same and can no longer be lived in the same way, for its space will have been destroyed by the vibratory shock of the new energy that will pierce the shell of the personality, linking the latter with an ego conscious by a mind directly fed by the suprasensible planes that man can know by the power of his mind awakened to reality. The actualization of this new human phenomenon on Earth will be the precursor to the great upsurge in the world of forces seeking to drive man away from himself. The forces will be so powerful that the uninformed man will not be able to understand the plan, and from this ignorance many will suffer. Man will be overwhelmed because no matter what direction he looks, everything around him will be unconscious. This unconsciousness fueled by man's desires and passions will create in him such despair that men will no longer want their lives, because it will no longer have any real value. Life will be plastic and confusing, the fundamental questions will no longer have answers and man will be forced to suffer the yoke of his ignorance and of his decline. As the Earth is invaded by forces of all kinds, a small number will come from all the countries of the world to ally, to meet and to hear each other, because they will be aware of the supramental vibration in them. They will be a small but powerful group, because everything will be given back to them, both knowledge and power. But these men, because of their other consciousness, will then have to move away from the surface of the Earth to find refuge in a parallel dimension of matter, where the spirit will have empire over matter and will allow these men to live a life in direct relationship with the forces of light. The role of the new man on Earth will be creative. His time will no longer be the time he has known, but a new time, in which he will be able to move around in order to study and discover the laws of the universe. The new human kingdom will complete the phase of human mental development and establish the first conditions for the development of a society governed by the laws of the spirit on the globe. This society will grow and spread to all corners of the world, and will never be divided. For those who have composed the body will know the laws of vibratory energy that underlie any creative effort born of intelligent and governing consciousness, of which they will be the active agents on the material and etheric level. Men will no longer have the ability to divert the creative forces that watch over the evolution of the globe, because they will have been connected and unified to these forces in their experience of transition from one life plane to another. The forces of life will then be made available to man, and the latter will perform wonders on Earth. From the deepest and most secret folds of the planet, these men will be able to act and ensure that nations evolve towards greater harmony. Entire peoples will be creatively influenced in order to allow them access to a greater manifestation of their national characteristics within a framework of balance and understanding with the surrounding nations. All governments of the Earth will be instructed by the emissaries of the new race, for they will have the power to make their voices heard. The new men will have lost full consciousness of their previous life, that life during which matter had dominated their senses. The new life will be total, and the past of this old life will no longer exist. Individual consciousness will be so great that man can only look to the future and work to build a new world, a world that is both wonderful and very young. But the youth of this new world will be the mark of his consciousness and not of his immaturity. The veils of science will have been lifted, so that society will reflect on the greatest and most sumptuous things. Creative forces will dominate, by their presence, in the consciousness of man, the latter's efforts, and will allow the latter to benefit from their presence. The Earth will then know its paradise, and men will be the proudest inhabitants. Based on new organizational principles, the new society will only be able to go beyond the limits of the old and conquer the highest plateaus of social perfection. As much as the old man will have given in to the forces of all kinds that dominate his consciousness, so will the new man be freed from these forces, and will he be able to preserve the natural balance that exists between him and the spheres hitherto unknown to the majority. The forces of involution will have to withdraw, because man will know the illusions and maneuvers. The transition between the old ego and the new ego will allow man to realize the limits of his psychological endurance against the powerful penetration of the forces of light. He will see to what extent he can support them in himself, without failing in his relationship with them. His experience will mark the beginning of universal consciousness in man, and only the individual will be able to measure this level of consciousness according to his relationship, more or less narrow, with the creative intelligences that direct evolution and follow man in his journey towards the infinite. The connection between man's etheric consciousness and his material consciousness will create the first bridge between cosmic science and material science, so that the latter will see its last days and will be replaced by a science so advanced that everything that is known today in the largest research centers will be outdated. New science will be the true proof that man will finally have acquired the right and power to work with the forces of nature. Its creative power will awaken in humanity a great sense of love for science, which can only be realized at its true value when man works according to the laws of evolution, and not according to the laws of destruction. The old ego of man, one who understands only by his material senses, and evaluates only by the presence of his senses, will have lost his intelligent effect on the emotional form. And this loss of control over this form will ensure the total domination of mental energy in him. Energy of which he has no consciousness today, because his presence can only be felt in the case where the emotion has been sufficiently readjusted, that is, made creative according to the objective quality it can possess when the ego is sufficiently conscious of the illusion of temporal free will. Only to the extent that this free will has been truly perceived in its necessary illusion can the ancient ego finally and gradually readjust to its own reality and begin to vibrate according to the vibratory energy that is at the very foundation of human power. The spirit of man must be considered as part of the universal consciousness before the latter can realize the power of this consciousness. Thus, when man has ceased to consider himself as such, that is, as a subjectively intelligent being, he then begins to become aware in himself of an infinite value of intelligence that does not belong to him in himself, but which is part of him, because it passes through him. The ancient ego, dominated by the need to understand the material world, has necessarily obstructed its real vision of nature and the principle of intelligence. And it is from this necessary error that the evil, committed by man because of his intelligence, flows. It is not the intelligence of man himself that must be considered at fault, but the emotion of man in his intelligence, that condition which only the destruction of the lower mental body can eliminate when the emotional body is subjected to the vibratory manifestation which must reduce the value of any emotion to a supramental understanding of that same emotion, in order to free the ego from the consequence of emotion on its mind. A serious consequence in the context of supramental consciousness, because it forms the barrier that separates the world of matter from the parallel worlds. The transmutation of the old ego into the new ego will be so profound that the man of the last generation will no longer want to participate in the material life of this last generation. Time alone will bear witness to this real mutation. It is impossible for an ego to know the nature of its progression in the profound change of its being, because it is precisely this change that allows it to achieve change. The penetration of life forces into the consciousness of man is not an exercise in the materialistic intelligence of man, but in the supramental intelligence of the latter. This is why any man who tends towards supramental consciousness discovers one day or another that he is no longer the same, except in the psychological constitution of his personal knowledge. For this knowledge will have been introduced by the opening of a higher center in himself, not conditioned by preconceived ideas that it may have made of itself or of reality. His psychological being loses more and more power over his true being, because the reasons of yesterday's have been eliminated by the transfer into his spirit of an energy that is not likely to be used to the advantage of his rational intelligence. The actualization in him of a new faculty becomes his personal support, and the foundation of his growing individuality is more and more integrated and integral. The quality of life changes over time, and the ancient man dies, little by little, like a flame that has been stopped for lack of oxygen. As the new intelligence settles in him, he sees very well that his present life is simply a page that he must turn, so that it may be established, in a certain future for him alone, that on the other side of material life extends an even more real and vast life, because it contains the secrets of creation. As long as the ancient man has not sufficiently disappeared from the consciousness of the man of tomorrow, the latter must suffer the presence and smallness of it. Patience then settles in him, according to the degree of his natural wisdom, and overcomes the ancient man. When patience has finally made the last blow in the latter's body, the foundations of the new reality are felt under his feet, and he sees that he is ready to tread them without fear, filled with the deep and serene joy of the life announced long ago to man by those who knew its secrets and hidden grandeur. Those of you who seek greatness, it will be given the opposite, for the laws of the spirit are opposed to the ego. That is, the laws of the spirit predestine the ego. Any ego seeking to predestine itself will have to be disillusioned before it can sit before the great ones who govern, and who, because of their very advanced evolution, prescribe to man the generative functions of the evolution plan of the planet Earth.